There's been global outrage at the killing by the Myanmar military of more than 100 anti-coup protesters on Saturday, the deadliest day since last month's coup. The US accused the Burmese security forces of a reign of terror. On Saturday night, the coup leader Min Aung Hlaing and his generals threw a lavish party for Armed Forces Day. Yesterday, funerals for some of those murdered were held, with some reports saying the military had tried to intervene in the morning. More than 400 people have now been killed in the suppression of protests since February the 1st. I've been speaking to an Irish woman living in Myanmar who we are not naming to protect her security. She described what's been happening in Yangon.
This weekend we had the annual Armed Forces Day, and normally that would be a large parade kind of showing the might of the Myanmar military, usually held in the capital Naypyidaw. It also brought a lot of people out on the street to protest on the Saturday. And there was a huge amount of violence and crackdowns on those protests. There was the highest number of deaths yet reported on Saturday. And people as young as 5 years old have been shot dead. So that's what's going on now.
And is it possible for you and others to have any sort of normal life there at the moment? Does that continue in any way, or is everyone forced to stay in their homes apart from those who insist on going out to protest?
I mean, I think because of the pandemic, we've all been able to adjust to working at home. So there is a minimal amount of work going on from home. Apart from that, there are supermarkets that have remained open and the street markets, wet markets. But the banking system has been totally locked down since the 1st of February. So that causes huge problems with the flow of cash. Even if people are working, it's very difficult for them to be paid. ATMs are, you know, rarely stocked up, and when banks stock up the ATMs, there's long queues. It's difficult for people to access their cash. So economically, the country has really come to a halt. For the average person, that day to day going out, generally people don't really go out. They try to stay in their home or near their home. It's not really normal life at all.
There must be a real climate of fear. Is there, are there soldiers with guns everywhere?
It's very sporadic. Of course, there are certain protest sites that have been seeing a lot of like high numbers of protesters and more brutal crackdowns since the protesting began in early February. But it's not confined to those areas either. The soldiers have been seen anywhere around the city, many places around the country, most major towns. Police and soldiers are there with their guns. And I suppose it's what has happened up until this weekend was that there were civilian erected barriers, you know, made from bags of sand and, you know, bits and pieces. People were trying to protect their own neighborhoods by using these homemade barriers, and because the military wants life to go back to being as normal as possible, they just want business as usual, so they violently got people to remove those barriers. And there was multiple reports of them shouting into the street, if we come back here and we see this barrier is up again, we'll shoot everyone on the street. So there has been less of that kind of thing in the last couple of days, but people are still going out and protesting.
Yes, and the threats from the military are horrific. They have threatened to shoot people in the back and in the head if they continue to protest. Do you know people who are risking their lives in this way, who are insistent on taking to the streets and overthrowing this coup?
I do. I think there is a lot of young people who, know the dangers and know the risk, know how easy it would be for them to be arrested or shot or injured. I think everyone here knows someone who has either been arrested, and many people know someone who has, you know, been shot or killed. It's not really confined to people who are protesting or, as they say, on the front lines either. A lot of people are being caught up by caught up in between the violence, and, as I said, very young people sometimes shot, caught in the crossfire. The young people continue to go out because they have heard, they've grown up hearing the stories from their parents about what happened in the previous revolutions and how life was under the previous dictatorship. They've had this about 5 years under the democratic government, and it wasn't a perfect democracy, but they got a taste of democracy. And it's that combination is quite dangerous to the military, because the young people know what they can have, and they are sure that they don't want to go back to what their parents had. And that, I believe, is why a lot of young people are still going out and risking their lives.
It is so dangerous. Is there any sign at all that any elements of the military are prepared to defy orders?
There have been small numbers of both police and a very few number of soldiers who have defied their orders. The thing is that those soldiers tend to be from the more rural part, based in the more rural parts of the country, and the police as well. And while it can be quite encouraging for the movement, it's quite ineffective. The most brutal battalions are here in Yangon. And they're not defecting. You have to remember there's a system of fear and a sort of brainwashing that goes on in the military. And to defy orders is really to sign up to an awful future. So I think that's why there are so few people defecting from the military and the police.
And that was an Irish woman living in Myanmar. We are not naming her to protect her security, and we thank her for talking to us this morning.